The children did quote it to us earlier, Isaiah 9 verse 6. For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name, it's interesting it's singular, but yet there are more than one names, and his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. Normally, a baby's birth is announced after it's born. But yet, the birth of our Lord Jesus Christ was announced here 700 years before he was born. We've been in Isaiah for quite a number of weeks now studying verses from this great book. And Isaiah is writing 700 years before, and he tells the announcement of this baby and tells us things about him, who he will be, what he will come to do, and that's what the names reveal and tell us all about it. It says here a child is born. Now there's nothing too unusual about that. Of course it's lovely when it's our own family. A child is born. That's his humanity. He's a real man. But then notice it says the son is given. The son is given. You see, that's speaking about his deity, that the baby born in Bethlehem is not another human baby. He's more. As the Son of God, when he was born, he was older than his mother. Because as Son of God, he never had a beginning. God in a child. Never ceased to be God. He's perfect God. And yet at Bethlehem, he took into union with his deity, perfect humanity. And he's God and he's man in one. That's the miracle of Christmas. That's the miracle of the incarnation. God in human flesh. That he's God and he's man. That little baby is the mighty God of heaven. He's the creator of the universe. You say, I can't understand how that little baby in the manger that the shepherds saw and the wise men saw and Mary saw and Joseph saw, how could he be God who created the world? Now, I cannot explain it, but I believe it because the Bible teaches us that's the great miracle. He's man and he's God. But you notice in the verse, this struck me twice. For unto us a child is born. Unto us. That means for our benefit. 700 years before he was born, Isaiah writes, there's going to be a baby born for you. For you. For your benefit. That's a wonderful thing. For your benefit. Now you'll receive many gifts. I don't know what that present was the boys and girls were talking about. Oh, well, it's probably socks, is it? Nothing wrong with socks. You need them. Well, this is just to help us. And boys and girls, I'm going to speak today, not so much with appreciate all the work you've done this morning, but I want to bring some thoughts to the adults, but just to help us. A box, a present for you. I haven't put anybody's name on it, for it's for everybody in this room. There's a present for you this morning. And that present is the one of whom we've been reading in our verse. And that present is the Lord Jesus Christ. You see, the Bible says that that baby born in Bethlehem, he's God. We've just read that, and he's man. And he's God's unspeakable gift. And just as you will receive Christmas presents, God has given us the greatest present of all, the gift of his own beloved Son. Christ is heaven's gift to us. But you know, sometimes when you get a gift, there may be a big, in a big box like this, and when you open it up, you know what you find? There are more gifts inside. Now, it's one big gift, isn't it? But inside there are different aspects of it. Different aspects of it. And that's true about this verse. These names tell us different wonderful things about the gift that God has given the Lord Jesus Christ, God's gift to us. Look at the first one. Wonderful Counselor. Now, words lose their meaning. I'm old enough to know that as various words are in vogue. A while ago it was awesome. Everything's awesome. Oh, that cake, it's awesome. Oh, that dinner, it's awesome. Oh, that coat you're wearing, it's awesome. And the word lost its meaning. Well, wonderful loses its meaning. Everything came, oh, it's wonderful. It's wonderful. That tie you're wearing, it's wonderful. Well, The word is overused, but the word here in the Hebrew means unique. Supernatural. It's something that only God can do. That's the meaning of the word. It's a word that's used of the great miracles that Almighty God can do. Wonderful. Thou only doest wondrous things. Over in chapter 28 of Isaiah, he said, the Lord of hosts, which is wonderful in counsel. Now, what's a counselor? A counselor, someone tells you what you ought to do, that gives us advice. We think of a lawyer. And in Isaiah's day, people were hurting. There were great nations round about, and one especially, Assyria, was going to come, and they were threatening to take over the nation and invade it, and they were hurting, and they didn't know what to do, and they were afraid of the future. And so Isaiah said, listen, God is going to send a special person into this world. He'll be born as a baby, but he's God. He's going to come into the world, and he's going to be the wonderful counselor, the one you need to tell you God's plan, to tell you what you ought to do. And you see, if you're an adult here, you know, and you've probably found it out yourself, that there are many well-educated, academic, smart people in this world, and they can't answer the simplest of questions, the most basic of questions. Who am I? Why am I here? What's the purpose of life? What happens after death? How can I be prepared to meet God? How can I know my sins are forgiven? How can I know that Almighty God has accepted me and I have eternal life? They can't answer those questions. But thank God, the one born in Bethlehem, he is the answer. He's the wonderful counselor. He's the only counselor we need. Eve listened to the devil's counsel, brought hurt and pain into the world. When you listen to the counsel the Lord Jesus Christ gives, then it is so wonderful. And when you receive him as your Savior, listen, he, for every problem, he has a plan. For every situation in your life, he has the solution. For every crisis, he has the counsel. He's the wonderful, wonderful counselor. And you think of the people when he was here upon earth, came to him for counsel, all different types of people, the wonderful counselor. But look at the next one here. Not only is he, and we'll put these up, not only is he the wonderful counselor, all right, let's pick up another one here. What's the next one that's here? Oh, he's the mighty God. When you receive the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior, he's the mighty God. We've already touched on that, haven't we? The one who was born in Bethlehem. He's the mighty God. He created the world. That's why John's gospel, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. All things were made by him. Now, that's amazing. That baby in the manger created the world. He's the mighty God. He is the mighty God. But you see that expression, mighty. It's a word that's often translated for a warrior. He's a great warrior. Oh, it has the idea of strong one, but it's also a warrior. You see, the Lord Jesus Christ came into this world to do something that only he could do. And he went to the cross of Calvary. And there on that cross, he battled your great enemies. Remember, this is for you. Unto you is born. He fought the greatest battle. And he battled against our two great enemies. What are your two great enemies? Death, sin. And he overcame them. Through his might, through his suffering and death, he overcame them. And when you know the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior, your sins are dealt with. And not only that, every problem you face in life, not only does he have the answer, the plan, he has the power. You see, for hurting people, he is the counselor. For we who are helpless, and you know, sooner or later we realize we can't save ourselves, there's nothing we can do, we need help. Well, he is the one who has the power. Is anything too hard for the Lord? No. And whatever situation you're struggling with in your life, he's the mighty God. Let's look for another one. Oh, this is a strange one. He's the everlasting Father. Maybe you say, but hold on, I thought Christ was God the Son. How could he be the everlasting Father? Well, it's not talking about the Trinity, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. No, the word Father can be used as originator, the source. The book of Genesis talks about a man who's the father of all those who works with metal. Someone else is the father of all those who make music. It talks about the Father. We say today the daddy of them all, somebody who's very good in some particular sphere of life. The idea is he's the source of eternity. It's emphasizing he's God, of course, as well. He's the eternal one. He's the eternal one. But it's more than that. He's the originator. And of course, you and I are only a heartbeat from eternity. Remember that? But he is the eternal one. But here's what I think is really applying to us. He is the profound one, wonderful counselor. He's the powerful one, the mighty God. Oh, but listen, he's the personal one, everlasting Father. He's the originator. There's a hymn that says, Father, like he tends and spares us. Like as a father pitieth his children, so the Lord pitieth them that fear him. A good father loves and cares. And when you receive the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior, you discover he's someone who loves you with an everlasting love, who cares for you not just today, but tomorrow and forever on into eternity. He's one who forgives you of your sins. And of course, as Christians, we still sin. He doesn't say, that's it, get out, you're not one. No, no. He's everlasting in his forgiveness. He's everlasting in his grace. Oh, that's the idea here. The Father, he's a wonderful, wonderful Father. He's the wonderful Counselor. He's the mighty God. He's the everlasting Father. Oh, but something else. When you receive for you the Lord Jesus Christ, listen, he's the Prince of Peace. The Prince of Peace. What does that mean? Well, that's what most people lack today. They lacked it back in Isaiah's day. And so many today lack peace. The first peace we need is peace with God, for the Bible teaches because we sin. God is so good. He's so good. He can't look at sin. While he's a God of love, he can't have us in his presence because we're sinners. But the one who was born in Bethlehem, he is our peace. He came to make peace by the blood of his cross. And when he died in Calvary, he died for our sins. And therefore, the enmity, that war that's between us and God, it's settled. When you accept him as Savior, it's settled. And you can know his peace in your life, peace with God. And then, day by day in the situations of life, you can know peace. So many today, peace is the idea not only of absence of war, but of satisfaction. That's what the Hebrew word means. Prosperity, satisfaction. Of course, many think, well, at Christmas, and it is wonderful to give gifts and receive them and be with their families. But some people idea, well, the possessions are the pathway to peace. If I have enough material goods, that will make me happy. No, it doesn't. There's only one person can give peace, the Lord Jesus Christ. The peace that passeth understanding. Christ said, my peace I give unto you. Now look, where do you get peace? Where do you get peace? You get peace in the Lord Jesus Christ. How do you come to know the everlasting Father? In the Lord Jesus Christ. How can you have the mighty God with you in every situation of your life? You need to come and receive the Lord Jesus Christ. How can you have a wonderful counselor to help you in every situation in your life? There's only one way. There's only one way that you can have that. And it's very simple. If you will take the Lord Jesus Christ. If you will take the Lord Jesus Christ. If you don't, you can't have all these meaning of the name that I've talked about for you. Not a wonderful in the verse. Twice. Unto you. For unto you. And think of the New Testament. Unto you. He's born. For the hurting, he's the wonderful counselor. For the helpless, he's the mighty God. For the hopeless, when you've no hope, he's the everlasting Father who loves and cares. For the heartbroken, he is the Prince of Peace. Can you not see it? God has given it all in Christ. But these blessings are salvation. They're not, you can't obtain them by your achievement, who you are. They're only received by acceptance. That's why so many never receive the Lord Jesus Christ. Because we have to humble ourselves like a child and say, Lord, I'm hopeless, I'm helpless, I'm hurting. Lord, give me Christ. And thank God, God has given him. For God so loved the world that he gave, and he offers us this morning the Lord Jesus Christ. But we have to reach out the hand of faith and take. And you know, let me say just in closing, without Jesus Christ possessing everything in this world, you really have nothing. But you know, possessing the Lord Jesus Christ, you may have nothing in this world, but you have everything when you have him. Will the Lord Jesus Christ save you? Of course he will. Will he come and be your mighty God? Of course he will. Because the question or the offer is unto you. And the question this morning, as we've heard the boys and girls remind us of the birth of our Savior, as we think of a great verse, for unto us the child is born. It's unto you, it's us. The question is this. It's a question from the Bible. What will you do with Jesus? What will you do with Jesus?